Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. It is time now for our Community Connection, and it's brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home and Tall Grass Motors. I'm Tom Davis, and I am joined by the sergeant once again. Daniel is there. How you doing, sir?
Doing good, doing good.
Well, we're here with the Oklahoma Army National Guard today. You got some news today for folks who maybe thought that they were a little too old to be a soldier.
Yeah, we got some news late last week before we had drill this weekend. Our commander had actually sent out some information that they are approving waivers for up to the age of 44 right now.
What had it been?
So, well, the most I've seen a waiver for or heard about was the age of 38. Our cutoff is 35, but they're doing waivers up to 44.
Was there any thing that went along with it as to why, other than sounds good to me?
No, they didn't push out any information other than that, just kind of letting us know. So,
well, that's great. Bigger pool to choose from.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you think that you had missed that time to try to get in and it's something that you feel like you know, want to fulfill, then now's the time to go ahead and try to fulfill that.
All you have to do is pass the physical and pass the tests, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Excuse me there. Well, I understand that with the Oklahoma Army National Guard, there is a little bit of a criteria. I mean, you got to be able to run a little. You got to be able to, you know, at least do a chin-up or two. What kind of requirements physically are there as far as becoming a member of the Guard?
You have the height weight requirement, so we try to get you within that height weight. It depends on your age and your height and kind of shows where your weight is. I mean, technically, I'm overweight by the Army, but I'm able to pass our tape test to show the body fat percentage. So if you're within that criteria, then you're able to enlist.
So somebody who is as high as they are wide might have a challenge?
They might.
Yeah.
They might.
Just checking, for a friend, asking for a friend. So you got to get off the donuts and you got to get moving and you got to get yourself in shape. But there are a lot of people who are 44 years old who look like they're still, well into their 30s because they do maintain themselves pretty darn well. So this ought to work out pretty good for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are some of the benefits of being a citizen soldier?
So, well, one thing I'd like to talk about are bonuses.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we push out a little bit, but they are only – there's specific jobs that are allowed for the bonus. We have a top 10 in the state. That's our top 10 that we try to get filled. Usually the vacancies are open quite a bit, and then we have what we call low density. Just not a lot of people are interested in them. So – between the top 10 and those low density, we have about 16 jobs that are open for a bonus.
Well, let's hear a few of these because there might be somebody thinking, hey, I can fit in under that age requirement now, and this is something I could do, or I could sure really try to learn to do it. So what do we have?
Well, the first two are kind of in the same, we call it a series. They're okay. An 11 series, 11 Bravo, which is your infantryman. Those are your eyes and your ears on the ground forces. They're usually out on the streets running around. I did 11 Bravo for 13 years. And really what it comes down to, like, you're the, kind of the police force on the civilian side. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot of tactics that a lot of police would learn. Okay. So you learn how to communicate with each other and move around together as a team. An 11 Charlie is similar to that. Their only difference is they're a mortarman,
okay.
So they carry around mortars, little rockets that they can backpack and then set up somewhere and shoot off in the air.
Okay,
so this
is not like a sidearm. This is one that's gonna do some damage.
Yeah, a little bit of damage, a little bit of damage. Yeah. So those two are open for the bonus. After we move from there, we have 12 November. That's a construction engineer.
Okay,
there you can learn a lot of construction jobs. The 12 November is specifically horizontal. They deal with a lot of heavy equipment. You're going to drive some bulldozers, some scrapers, some dump trucks, some backhoes. You're going to be able to learn how to, before you build something, you have to level the surface before you can to create a foundation. So that's what their job is to do.
Now, when I think of the military, I think of them, you're kind of going the other direction. if it absolutely, positively has to be blown up overnight, that's who you call, but construction. But I guess, you have to do some things like get a base together real quick if you have to put up something somewhat,
Yeah, yeah.
In
order to get a base, you have to go in there and get the foundation and get it, start that construction to start building on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff that you know, people see on the news and the media is all the stuff that's going on with bombings and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't realize how many churches and schools and stuff that we're actually building for other countries while we're there. So that, something that, behind the scenes that you don't hear about.
That's something that you just, you really don't. I mean, I remember General Petraeus doing something like that back in the Iraq war. But, yeah, that's something that I think people would say, wow, good on you, man. What else you got on the list there?
So we'll move on from there. You got our 13 series. Those deal with some of the larger rockets that we have. Cannon crew member, which is a 13 Bravo. That is your they deal with calculating targets. They'll kind of plop. There's a 13 Bravo, and then you have a 13 Fox. They're both eligible for the bonus. Basically, how those work together is the 13 Fox is your fire support specialist. Mm-hmm. They're out trying to gather the intelligence and find out what's going on in order to relay it back to the cannon crew members, so they can set the their cannons and kind of put them on point. And then that fire support specialist kind of tells them, you know, how close they are to the target. So you have one person out being the eyes, radioing back to the other people that's trying to set the coordinates and try to get those missiles on target.
And, so they work together. And then getting the heck out of the way.
Yeah. Then
too right, close. Too close.
Right, right. Danger close, huh? So another one that's similar to that forward support specialist, kind of the eyes and the ears out there, is the cavalry scout, which is a 19 Delta. Mm-hmm. They are the eyes and the ears of the commander. They engage with the enemy and track their activity. So they're kind of, you know, look out, kind of see what's going on with them. They'll direct employment of weapon systems on their locations, and then they'll collect data and classify some of the routes. So kind of a little bit of intelligence, but you're kind of the eyes on, kind of overseeing what the enemy would be doing. So, but in order to do that, you got to have a way to communicate, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to know what you're doing.
Right. So... 25 uniform. That's a signal support specialist.
Okay,
you know they're going to be the way they're there to help you out to communicate, so you can get that information back. You know, when you're the eyes and the ears out there, if you're not talking to anybody, you can't. You know, they don't know what's going on, so you have to.
These are the people that keep the channel clear for you. And they're the
They maintain the radio and the distribution systems and help out when there's any issues with it. They deal a little bit with the local area networks.
Okay.
So we can keep those satellites going and networking going and the radios going, so we know. You know.
A lot of people don't realize this, but the world has changed a little bit since NOM, and it's changed since Gulf War One and Gulf Two. Right now, I mean, we use satellites an awful lot for just about everything we do civilian wise, and I don't think folks maybe realize just how intricate that is with the military satellites and geopositioning things.
Yeah,
like that.
It's very intricate with that job. You have a possibility to get a certification, an associate certified electronics technician. So if you do some courses with that job, you can try to get that license to kind of help out in, you know, going out and trying to find a job in the civilian.
It'll come in handy. Career. Trust me, everything's about communication and relaying information these days. So that's a good one to get into.
Yeah. And then some more that we have down here, they're all a 92 series. All the 92 series deals with logistics, supply, because without anything, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You need food, right?
You need food, you need ammunition, you need a little bit of everything.
Right. So the first one is the automated logistics specialist. Mm-hmm. That's a 92 Alpha. It deals a lot with inventory control management. Mm-hmm. So supply chain management, getting a warehouse, driving forklifts. We'll go out and teach you, you know, how to do all that. Right now the Army is using a system. It's all SAP database, or SAP, which is really, it's a big software company in the civilian world. A lot of employers use that.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get some experience in that field to help out.
That would work.
So another one with that is petroleum supply specialist. Those are your fuel handlers. They deal with airplane refueling systems, operating pumps, pipelines, and tankers. We deal with that quite a bit here in Oklahoma with all the...
I was going to say, you know...
the oil industry.
You probably learn a little bit of it before you go in, if you haven't already, and you can, if you haven't, you can transfer the knowledge that you garnered being in the Oklahoma Army National Guard and come back and say, hey, Uncle Frank, pick me.
Right. Yeah. So you can definitely get all that. And one thing with the fuel specialist is you do testing mm-hmm. on oil and the fuels.
Sure.
And with that, because it's hazardous material, you're probably going to know the safety procedures for hazmat. So some good qualities there that you can get out of that job.
Indeed. It all starts with taking that first step into your office, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to come see me, kind of see what kind of jobs you like and what sounds good. And
you can point on the wall and say, hey, I like that one. Hey, I like that one. But first, you got to go through a little bit of a spiel with the sergeant here. And what happens to a young person? Take us through a visit with a young person who's asking questions and pretty darn serious about becoming part of the Guard.
Well, I like to try to get them in the office, talk to them. It takes about an hour. During that, we'll kind of discuss what they're into, what they kind of like, what their goals are, and see if we can kind of align a job and something that goes with their goals. Mm-hmm. I give them an application, and then they go from there. Once they finish out the application, I get it back and submit it all and push everything up and make sure everything's correct before we go down to MEPS.
Okay, and once again, that's a process that takes place, because they're not just taking yours. They're taking, thousands across the nation.
Yeah.
So this goes basically to the state, right? And then...
MEPS is the military entrance processing. Yeah. It's down in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
All the branches of service are down there, so mm-hmm. Every branch is going through there, so it is a process. The National Guard, we're allowed to do 12 a day, so we can process about 12 applicants a day down there.
Have you ever had a bunch of guys just walking in and say, hey, we're joining?
No, I wish. That'd be nice.
Talk about bonus pay. No. Yeah. Because I do remember back in 79, 80, whenever the embassy was overthrown in Iran, bunch of us. I mean, we swarmed. We all went down and we all got to sign up and everything. And they kind of got to me and said, aren't you that baseball player that's on injured reserve? Yeah. Wait outside. I'll talk to your buddies. You're not going anywhere. Okay. I had the bum wheel. I couldn't do anything. So anyway, but the thing was, the offices were full the first week that happened.
I've heard some circumstances where a couple of recruiters recently have had several kids. Most of the time it's kids in high school. Like one mm-hmm. of them gets on board and then all their friends, do it too.
So it sounds good. Let's go. Yeah.
They've been able to go to basic training and job training all together.
Wow.
So they can, if you want to enlist, with a friend and want to do the same thing, then you can go do all that training together.
Now you do outreach with the schools, mm-hmm. correct? How does that work?
Most of the time we do class presentations, just kind of go over the benefits that we have. Let the students know how we can, what we can do to help them out, specifically when it comes to college. Mm-hmm. I like, but not only college, I mean, job training here, a lot of skills that you can learn, mm-hmm. That will pay you to go learn,
mm-hmm.
So that would help.
Okay. Very good. Now, if somebody wants to find you, where is your office located?
It's at 1816 West Hensley. It's the old DMV, right below the water tower.
Okay, you can't miss it.
On the west side of town, yeah. They could reach. I'm over there. If they can't get me there, I do have a sign on the window with my number, 918-990-2636. Or if you're messing around on your phone, you want to look me up. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Recruiter Lazier.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's connected, man. He's got all the socials going on here. I want to thank you for dropping by today on this this Monday, a very chilly Monday. You'd never know. This guy doesn't even get cold. Didn't even wear a coat coming in here. Good Lord. I tell you, the enemy just surrenders to him. All right. I want to.